Next on BYUSN, is BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff underrated as a QB? We'll react to where one college football writer has Retzlaff ranked among all Big 12 signal callers. Last week, CBS Sports college football insider and writer Shahan Jayaraja said BYU is the most underrated team in America. He'll join us and discuss why he believes that.
With the NBA Combine underway and the NBA lottery tonight, how much does it matter if Yegor Demin's a lottery pick? We take on that discussion. And was BYU softball snubbed from the NCAA tournament? A reaction to the Cougars being among the first four outs.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Monday, May 12th. Hope everyone had a fantastic Mother's Day weekend. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man whose parents we know loved him very, very much.
And still Dave do, McGann. As far
still,
as I know.
And still do, Dave McGann.
So I was talking to A.J. DeBonsa the other day, and we talked about how much his parents have meant to him in his decision-making process, including coming to BYU. And he quipped right back. He said, well, without my parents, I wouldn't be here, literally. And then he's... You're right. And then it became more profound as we thought about it. With moms and dads, without them, this would be an empty room. There would be no Cougar Nation. And especially with moms in the focus yesterday,
wow.
Civilization depends on them. Thank you, moms.
You want to go back to
Thank
core
principles?
Thank you for
all of us.
Yes.
So happy post-Mother's Day to everybody.
Absolutely.
And now we're gearing up for Father's Day. You know, it's like the build-up to the season opener.
Yes.
Right? At least in some houses.
Yes.
It's underway. The countdown to Father's
Listen,
Day.
Listen, your wife, Diane, my wife, Brittany, they put up with a lot when football season gets going, right?
Yeah.
That.
And then they also say when basketball and then baseball and then the summer. So, yeah, you're right. It's all the time.
We thank you and love you. And once again, hope everyone enjoyed their Mother's Day weekend. On that note, vibes are good. Rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
I decided to do the next step in my career, put my name on the 2025 NBA draft.
We offer an environment that can really help young men get to the NBA. Yegor is the first.
What's Trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Yes, Yegor Demin will be the first draft pick in the Kevin Young era at BYU. It's a matter of when he will go and to which team he will be playing for. We believe certainly it's in the first round. It's just, is it going to be a lottery pick? More on that. NBA draft season, by the way, is full on upon us. The NBA Combine underway yesterday. The lottery is held tonight. This is an exciting night for so many NBA fans, especially if your team stunk.
Well, yeah, I know Shep has been fasting for like 8 days. So I hope it works out for him.
Can the Jazz
He's got to stay
the
alive.
Number one pick.
Keep hope alive, Shep.
Yegor Demin is in Chicago right now for the Combine. If and when, and again, we believe he certainly will be, drafted in the first round, he'll be BYU's first draft pick in any round since Jimmer Fredette back in 2011. So let's just take a look at where Yegor lands in the latest mock projections that were updated this weekend. ESPN has him going number 12 to the Chicago Bulls. CBS Sports, one pick behind that, 13th to the Atlanta Hawks. Yahoo, keeping in line, going at 14 to the Spurs. The Ringer at number 15 to the Thunder. And Sports Illustrated still feels like the Washington landing spot is appropriate for Yegor at number 18. Okay, these are all fun. If you go 12, 13, or 14, Dave, you're a lottery pick.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Right.
How much does it actually matter if Yegor Demin is or is not drafted as a lottery pick?
I don't think it matters now because he's in it, right? There's no coming back. So the decision of to go or stay kind of hinged on, well, how high could you go and what does that mean money-wise and opportunity-wise? Then once you're in, like he is, and committed to the draft, and he's going to be a first-round pick, then it becomes the fit. Because the money's going to be there, and from his home country, too. He's going to be just fine financially. And now it's which team needs Yegor the most, where he can develop and in these next coming years, as he grows even more into his body and into his game, where he can surface as a, hey, remember that lottery pick we got or that first-round pick we got? He's starting for us now, 3 years from now or whatever, making an impact in the NBA. So I think that's what matters. It's exciting because it's the lottery night and teams will kind of learn their fate, at least the first couple.
Yes.
And then after that, it's kind of all the same. So then you look for the fit.
Listen, Yegor Demin, if we're speaking about food, because food is often on my mind, like, he's going to have a nice meal wherever he gets drafted, Dave. Yeah. Whether it's 12, 15, 18, it's going to be a great meal. Now, if he is a lottery pick, to me, this feels like he gets the extra dressings, maybe an extra appetizer, a nice dessert to go along with it. He gets some perks there. But it's going to be a great meal regardless. Selfishly, I want him to be a lottery pick, one, because I feel like he deserves it, and I believe like his upside also is worthy of a lottery pick selection. I think Yegor is going to play a long time in the NBA, and he's going to do great things. He's such a unique player with a very, very specific skill set. Who is 6'9 and can handle the ball like that and pass the way that he does,
right,
and has already played at such a high level internationally and also at college basketball? He just is a unique blend of so many great experiences and skills. So I think he deserves it, but also it just hasn't happened for BYU often. It would give some oomph to the whole Kevin Young situation at BYU. Like, hey, go to BYU, you can be a lottery pick. I would love to see that happen in year one, which takes us to our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
In fact, Dave, this is so good. Why don't you read the stat of the day? Let's double down on this.
All right, NBA first round draft picks from BYU. There haven't been a lot.
Lottery picks.
And lottery picks have been three. Can you name them? Here they are. There's Sean Bradley, Rafael Araujo, and Jimmer Fredette. That's it. You're like, hey, Mike Smith, he was the big pick for the Celtics, but that was when there were just 9 lottery picks, and he went 13th in 1989. So there's the list right there. Yeah.
Be nice to
update some of that history.
I want a fourth. Yes, let's get it going, because we know next year, 1,000,000% BYU will have a lottery pick
right. With
A.J. DeBonta. It's just a matter of, is it going to be 1, 2, or 3, we think. So BYU will have a lottery pick. It would be nice to, back-to-back years, send Yegor Demin and A.J. DeBonta into the NBA as lottery selections. It's only 7 first-round draft picks in the history of BYU basketball, as you pointed out, Dave, the 3 that have been selected. It is so uncommon.
Look how tall Sean Bradley, 7'6". David Stern looking straight up.
Sean Bradley played 1 year of college basketball and then went on a mission and came home and got drafted number 2.
And Jimmer, finally, 2011. So it's been a little while.
Yes. I want that to change.
And I think too, we're ushering in this new era with Kevin Young and all of that stuff. This would be nice to see. And again, it's kind of, okay, how's the order going to fall tonight? Because you kind of know which teams are Yegor-friendly. And it all could depend on, you know, the ping pong ball. If all of a sudden now he's in the top 10 because the team that wants him got lucky and moved up.
It's about fit and great point. Which team really wants Yegor Demin? Again, it's going to be a great meal for him. Speaking of the draft, I just want the really, really tasty spinach artichoke dip. And I want a nice piece of cheesecake at the end of my meal. I want the lottery, Dave. I want it all.
You lost me at that dip and the cheesecake.
You're not a fan of either?
I'll just do the steak and potatoes and then watch you eat that stuff. Let's listen to Yegor. Here's what he said about the combine that he's in right now and expectations for him getting better leading up to draft night.
I think a lot of people are going to expect from me not shooting really well since the season wasn't the best for me in shooting, but I'm definitely going to prove somebody wrong. I'm shooting a ton of shots every day, and just to be able, you know, to show who's the real Yegor taking shots, right?
Working out at LMU in Los Angeles.
So you get more with Yegor. You just get a high character kid as well. And that matters in the NBA, because half the battle is public relations and who can you send out there into the public and that isn't going to embarrass your team. And so there's Yegor, if he can improve that three-point shot, plus the Yegor, the kind of guy he is, and then you've got someone who goes, I'm investing in that.
Think about this. He's projected between 12 and 18 with people believing, as he said, that he is not a good shooter. So he's projected where he is without people thinking that he is, quote unquote, a pure shooter. If he can go to the combine, again, that is happening now, it started yesterday, and shoot better, why would he not be able to jump up a few spots? Like, oh, look at this development. Okay, this is just another way that we can see him climbing up that ladder and improving as a basketball player. If he can show up and be a better shooter to go along with everything else that he's doing, and he shot the ball better late in the season for BYU.
Yeah.
Like, let's not forget about in some huge games.
That stretch where he was 1 for 24, I think.
Early.
Nailed his numbers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when they needed him to make a big shot in games that mattered, he was money.
I think that should. And hopefully
that should earn him some money.
Will help Yegor and his prospects of proving some doubters wrong. Yeah. And, of course, fingers crossed that he shows up and does his thing shooting the basketball at the combine.
So 7 o'clock Eastern tonight, we'll find out
ping pong balls
where the lottery's going to go down. And for half the NBA, it's all about tonight. They don't even care about the playoffs. It's like, what's going to happen
here? All
right, time
out on basketball because we got some football stuff to discuss.
John Wilner of the Mercury News ranked BYU's Jake Retzlaff number 6 in his Big 12 quarterbacks power rankings.
Okay.
Is Jake a top 5 quarterback in the Big 12, or is he number 6 according to Wilner?
I believe that Jake deserves to be right at number 5. I do believe he is a top 5 quarterback in the Big 12. And I'm throwing and I'm leaning heavy on his brash leadership, his experience, and that he comes from a winning culture last year. There is power in believing that you play for a good football team and you have winners in your locker room. Say what you will about Jake and his numbers, and they were just kind of okay in some regard. When it mattered most of the time, he was making critical plays late in games. He was at his best when it mattered most often. Not perfect, because I know some of you are saying, well, what about the interception against Arizona State? What about the interception against Kansas at the end of the first half? Look, I get it. He wasn't perfect. But I would also offer the retort of, what did he do when he was given an opportunity against Utah after the holding call? Led the team down the field. Yep. What did he do against Oklahoma State? Okay? Like, he also had some incredible moments there. BYU's defense was remarkable. I thought Jake was really good in the two-minute offense. I'm leaning on his leadership and experience to put him as a number 5 quarterback. Talent-wise, if we're just going like strictly like pure talent quarterback skills, okay, maybe I can see the case why Jake is not a top 5 guy, but it's way bigger than just talent to me, Dave.
It's about winning. Can you win? He went 11-2. He won more Power 4 games than any quarterback in BYU history, and he did it in one season. He wasn't perfect while he was doing it, but he won games. And you look back to the Alamo Bowl, it might have been his worst game of the year. BYU won 36-14. And you know what? He had his fingerprints all over that football for 4 quarters. He led the Cougars to victory. So here are his numbers last year and where he ranked in the Big 12.
Okay.
So you got Wilner thinking he's at 6 coming into this season. Okay, there's a 7, there's a 12, there's an 8. He was projected 16th by some last year in the Big 12 going into the season.
Okay.
So I don't think Wilner's completely off. I think he may be a spot. You know, I think 5
yeah.
certainly is reasonable.
I wouldn't put Jake in the top 4. And he's probably going to hear this and be like, hey, thanks, bro, for nothing.
Because he's bound and determined to be
one. He believes he's the best quarterback in the Big 12, which I think I want in my quarterback.
Right.
I like that brash confidence. A lot of you might call it cocky, arrogance, whatever. Like, you want your quarterback to feel like they are the best quarterback in the room. He legitimately believes that he is the best quarterback in the Big 12 right now.
Yeah, and I think you gotta have that. You gotta have that. And at 11-2 last year, after going 0-4, was it 0-4 or 0-4 to finish his debut season, I guess you'd call it. He's got all the experience. He's got weapons around him, and he doesn't have to be Superman to do it. But with the pieces that he's got coming back, if Jake's just this much better than last year, if he was this much better, 11-2, it was a bad play here and a bad play there. You eliminate those, now you're talking about an undefeated Jake Retzlaff.
Yes.
Or in the Heisman race, Retzlaff, if he goes through this schedule. But he finds ways to win, and that's what matters in this game.
When Jake Retzlaff and the offense had the ball with under 2 minutes left, how many BYU fans felt like they're going to do it again? Because they had done it several times. Like that, there is power in that. That's real value in the clutch factor of that BYU offense led by Jake Retzlaff. So, I put him right at number five.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And being five or six or 16 motivates that guy. Just like Kalani uses the projections aren't great to motivate this team. So, you know what? I'd almost rather see Wilner put him at six than one.
Oh, for sure.
Because, you know, this motivates Jake, and a motivated Jake is good for BYU.
It's all about your own perception, and right now Jake is viewing number six as straight disrespect.
Yeah.
Like, okay, great. Okay. Put me at six, put me at eight, put me at six, whatever.
I'll go, no, prove him wrong.
He wants to
he
go
likes
show
doing that.
He's working with John Beck this offseason. That typically proves to be a good thing. So, and I'm hearing good things from
you
John.
You and I should
well.
Work with Beck in the offseason. I think we all
what
should.
What can you do for us, John? What can you do for us? Our question of the day. John Wilner has Jake Retzlaff, if you just heard, the sixth best quarterback in the Big 12 right now. So, what do you think? Is Jake Retzlaff underrated as a Big 12 quarterback? At JBings3 on X Answers, you could rank Jake a spot or two higher, meaning better, but it's not too far off. Made a big jump last year. I expect him to make another jump this year. We'll see where he's at when all is said and done.
Okay. All right. Osman underscore Dav, D-A-V, 46133. Could you put any more numbers in there on X? He is, and he'll absolutely use that as motivation this season.
Underrated. Okay, yeah. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, BYU softball. I was thinking they would get in as an at-large in the NCAA tournament. That field was announced last night, and they were among the first four out, what's more painful, being one of the first four out or being one of the 20 out?
Well, the most
this
painful,
one they're right there.
The most painful part is this is 2 years in a row, Dave.
Yeah.
Last year, BYU was literally the first team out. Mm. They were one spot on the wrong side last year, and they are in a similar situation this season. I think it hurts me the most because this team has plenty of talent to be in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
They dealt with some unfortunate injuries, especially to their pitching staff. They had a real tough time staying healthy in the pitcher circle all year. And it came back and bit them a few times. Overall, improvement. I thought this was a better team this year than they were last year. Their non-conference strength of schedule, I'm sure, was a knock against them because the committee chair came out again and said, look, we like teams that go out and play difficult games early in the season and give themselves opportunities to win those games. So non-conference strength of schedule, and then just not being able to stay healthy in the pitcher's circle, which led to a tough loss at home against Utah Valley, which dropped them 10 spots in RPI. And then you didn't beat Iowa State in the Big 12 quarterfinals when you felt like that was like you must do it or you're going to be on the wrong side of the bubble. They just a game here and there short, Dave, and that's what's frustrating.
Five teams went ahead of them in the Big 12. They didn't play Oklahoma State, and they went 0-4 against the other four teams. As far as series go. And so you can't argue that somebody got in ahead of them that shouldn't have. They only get in if they take six, and they took five from the Big 12. But I think the product was much better than last year. I think Gordon Eakin and his group saw what they needed in that first year where they got roughed up in the Big 12. They went and got some more power. They had an outstanding freshman. But you're right. It's pitching and baseball is seeing it too, but in the end, we saw some great pitchers that they faced in this league, and in the end, you need one of those.
BYU is right there in terms of softball. They are right there, and if they can stay out, their pitching staff was still relatively young. They should be really good next year, led by Kaysen Korth and Kate Daly. They're the Big 12 Freshman of the Year, who hit the most home runs in the league, and Ilovea Brittingham.
When Brittingham comes to the plate, and Gordon Eakin said this before, she might be able to hit it down there to the Chevron. when she comes, you just stop and watch. You go, you know what, she's probably going to hit a home run. And a couple of times, even in the Utah series and going into that into the Big 12 tournament, you just go, she's going to hit one out. And then she does.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome.
Ah, you know, they lose another big home run hitter. Wanted Lindy Milkowski to get that tournament run, but it didn't happen. Okay, softball out, NCAA men's basketball back in, specifically The Men's Basketball Rules Committee on Friday proposed granting coaches one challenge per game to review out-of-bounds calls, basket interference, goaltending, and whether a secondary defender was in the restricted area arc. Coaches would need to have a timeout to request a challenge, and if a challenge is successful, coaches would be granted another for the remainder of the game, including overtime. But if a challenge is unsuccessful, the coach would lose the ability to challenge for the rest of the game. We continue. Under the proposal, officials, all those refs, would no longer review out-of-bounds calls unless a coach challenges the ruling in hopes of speeding up and improving the end of games. Are you in favor of this proposal to speed up the end of games and put it on the coaches to challenge?
I'm all for speeding up the game, but for another reason. But when it comes to this, the end of the games are the moments that decide games. So if you spent your challenge and now you can't use one and you're blatantly getting a raw deal here, I don't think that will sit so well with the fans because they see all the replays and like, hey, we're losing the game because we can't challenge that because we missed on another challenge. So I don't know about that. I'm all for speeding up the game, but for a different reason. Games are going over 2 hours, right? ESPN, our friends, they do games at 6 and 8. And so the 6 o'clock game starts at 6, and we pick up the 8 o'clock game about 4 minutes in.
Yeah, if not 15 minutes
in. Fix that so the fans can see. If BYU's second game of the doubleheader, we don't want to join 5 minutes in. And that happened all season long. So if you can speed up the game to keep it at 2 hours to just keep the viewing schedule intact, I'm all for them looking at everything, and this is one of them.
Call fewer fouls, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't mind the coach's challenge in play here. What I hate, and it's inevitable, it's going to happen. There's going to be a game where a coach challenged something, he loses it,
yeah,
and then it's going to come down to the end, and he doesn't have a challenge
left. And the season's on the line.
And there's a clear missed call by the official, but because he doesn't have a challenge and they're not reviewing it, the other team gets the break and takes the win. That's going to happen.
We see that in football.
I hate that.
Where you're like, oh, man, like, what was that?
I hate that. But I understand, like, they don't want to give – both of those things because they don't want to slow it down even more.
Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes I think we want to hurry these games along. It's like, who's in a hurry? You know, if football goes 5 minutes longer, are we outraged? It's like, we're there to watch the game.
Yeah.
Let it play out. Speaking of games, baseball, tomorrow night at Miller Park, it's BYU and Utah. Doesn't count as a conference game, but it's still BYU-Utah. Yeah. Coverage starts at 8 Eastern with Gary and me on ESPN. Plus, Greg will have the call on BYU Radio.
Up next, CBS Sports college football insider, expert and writer Shahan J. Araja discusses why he believes BYU is still America's most underrated college football team. Is he going to pick them to win the Big 12? This is BYU Wrestling.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
The Cougs are still America's most underrated team.
The truth is, we're just going to keep doing what we do. I'm not focused on the end result.
Guys are moving faster. Guys are jumping higher. Guys are making better plays.
Touchdown, Jake Retzloff.
Making sure our guys work hard, and then the results should work out in our favor.
We're live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside the always formidable and outstanding Dave McCann. Joining us now on Zoom from CBS College Sports, he is a college football insider, and he is back on the program, is Shahan J. Araja. Shahan, welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. And frankly, thank you for creating some news so that we have some things to talk about on this show.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, let's get into it. Last week, as we just heard coming back from break, you said that BYU is still America's most underrated team. Why do you feel like that is the case?
Well, I mean, look back at last season, right? Imagine there was a team that went on the road and beat a college football playoff team that went on to win 11 games to participate in the postseason, and they were ranked behind three lost teams. That's what BYU was last year, and I frankly still don't get it. I think that overall, the college football playoff rankings were pretty good, but that was just one that I could not stop looking at even back into last season. And I think heading into this season, they're still very underrated. I mean, this is a team that returns a lot of its offense. I actually put together a list of, out of our top 25 teams, kind of top Heisman contenders. Like, I think that LJ Martin is one of the best running backs in the country that nobody is talking about, somebody somebody who, when he's on the field, I think is as good as anybody. And then defensively, I mean, this team was a great, great defense. I don't think people view this as a team that's won 9 games so many of the past couple of years. They view it as the 5-7 team from 2023 when they were transitioning to the Big 12. So I think that this is an underrated program. I think it's an underrated coaching staff, and I expect big things for them in 2025.
Well, Sean, let's talk about 2025. What are your expectations for this team, and are you buying the notion that BYU could be in the college football playoff at the end?
Yeah, I mean, I would be disappointed if they weren't at least in the conversation at the end of the year. Now, look, I mean, in the Big 12, right, like every single week, there are so many teams that will have an opportunity to be there. And you even look at last year, right? BYU goes on and wins 10 games, but just because of some tiebreaker math, they don't make the Big 12 title game. I would be, again, disappointed if BYU isn't at least in that conversation. Of course, on defense, they're replacing a few key pieces. But I actually think that this is the year that maybe the offense takes even just a little bit of another step forward to potentially being a little bit more balanced and carrying a little bit more of the workload. But again, you know, I kind of mentioned it. Like, I don't think that people respect enough how good this team was defensively last year. You look at a lot of past defense stats, they were one of the best in the entire country, up there with teams like Texas and Notre Dame and Ohio State. I expect that to continue heading into next year with another year in Jay Hill's system. And again, look, you kind of just need to work out the math to figure out, you know, are they going to be one of those teams that's truly there at the end of the year? But they should be in the top 15. They should be right on the cusp of a Big 12 title game, and they should be right on the cusp of a college football playoff appearance.
Sean Jayaraja, CBS Sports college football insider and expert, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. I'd like to rewind to late December of last year, Sean, and discuss the Alamo Bowl and maybe how much vindication a person like you felt when you watched BYU do to Colorado what they did.
Yeah, I mean, again, like to completely shut down that Colorado passing game, which, by the way, had Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. They were a fully healthy team that all participated. Like, this is what BYU truly was all year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, 36-14 is a crazy number for it to end with. And it wasn't a shock to me that they were able to move the ball on offense. But I think it was a surprise to a lot of people who maybe didn't watch BYU all that closely, just how good they were against the pass. And that means in terms of pass rush, that means in terms of manning up wide receivers as well. Like, they were able to take away almost everything that Colorado wanted to do. It was about as bad as a finish to Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter's college football careers as you could have ever had. And again, like, obviously the defense is replacing some pieces, but like, this is largely the unit that's going to be coming back in 2025. So again, the great thing about having Colorado in the league is that everybody watches them, and you look at some of the ratings and numbers, like, this was one of the most watched Alamo Bowls of all time. And I hope that some people are taking that forward into 2025.
So BYU was picked 13th in the Big 12 preseason poll last year, and they finished 13th in the AP Top 25. In your early Big 12 preseason poll for 2025, where do you have the Cougars, and where would you put them in the top 25?
Yeah, so from my perspective, right, like, I think that you almost have to approach the Big 12 in tiers a little bit just because so many teams are so close. But they would certainly be part of my top tier. I would have them in the top three, potentially. I went on a radio interview last week, and I did pick them, at least right now, to win the Big 12. But Arizona State's going to be there. Texas Tech is going to be there. Baylor's going to be there. There's some other teams that could get into that conversation. But they absolutely are part of that top group. You know, again, look, we have another month before we have to cast our ballot for preseason Big 12 poll, but BYU will be one of my contenders to be my number one team in the conference. In terms of the preseason top 25, I mean, again, I think that they should be in that 10 to 15 range. There are some legitimate questions about the team, of course. You know, can they continue to be as consistent on offense? You know, they had great close game luck last year for the most part. Will they be able to continue that in 2025? But I still think that even a very modest outlook has them as maybe the 12th to 15th best team in the country. So that's where I would have them in my preseason rankings.
Outstanding insight from CBS Sports College Football Insider Sean Jayaraja. We continue specifically with BYU's quarterback. How do you assess Jake Retzlaff? Because last year, Pro Football Focus had him ranked dead last of the 16 Big 12 quarterbacks going into the season. This year, we're starting to see him pop up around 6 in the middle of the pack. Do you feel like he's underrated? What are you seeing in your assessment of Jake Retzlaff?
Well, he's a really interesting quarterback to try to evaluate because, look, like I don't think that he's shown NFL skills per se, right? Like he is not somebody who is a traditional pocket passer who's going out there and averaging 10 yards per attempt or whatever. But I think that what gets kind of lost in the process, well, actually two things that get lost in the process. One, I think his playmaking ability is a little underrated. I mean, you look at some of these close games in 2024. It was Jake Retzlaff making the right play in the right moment. The other thing, too, is I think that he's undervalued as a runner, and not just in terms of his ability to actually get rushing yards, but his ability to extend plays and create opportunities for his teammates. And by the way, for most of the season, he had to do this without much of a consistent running game because of the injuries at running back last year. I think that there's a lot of reason to believe that, one, with LJ Martin back and healthy and potentially a really good running game, he has the ability to really grow in that zone read and that play action game. And the other thing, too, is like you look at the jump that he made from 2023 to 2024. I mean, he was a kind of a mediocre quarterback when he got to play in 2023. And I got a great quote from Kalani Sitake last year when I talked to him for a story where he was basically like, what did you think was going to happen? I feel like people had this idea that we were just going to sit back there and not get any better. Well, Jake Retzlaff proved that he can continue to get better, and working with this coaching staff, continuing to grow in his skills, and also with a great receiving core coming back, I think that around 5-6 in the Big 12 is about right. But again, he has upside there that he has the ability to tap into.
When you think about the number one defense in the league returning, and probably the best special teams unit with Will Farron at kicker, and you mentioned LJ Martin healthy and everybody else, he doesn't have to be Superman for BYU to accomplish everything you think they can.
No, absolutely. And that's such a big part of it, right? Is like, if he's allowed to just be a good piece of a great unit, I just think that the upside is so immense. You saw those moments last year, especially in the first half of the year, whenever the running game was hurt, where he was just having to go out there and throw some stuff up. And, you know, there were mistakes made. Well, now I think that this unit as a whole has a chance to be a lot more cohesive, a lot better, a lot further along. I mean, the return of Chase Roberts, obviously, I think is a huge deal for this unit. I expect some growth from the young receivers and tight ends. Like I think that he just has to make those plays in the big moments. And if we know one thing from his 2024 campaign, that's what he does best.
Sean Jayaraja is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Let's look at BYU's schedule in 2025, because you mentioned some teams that you expect to be in your top tier where, well, at least a couple of those are not on BYU's schedule. There's no Arizona State, there's no Baylor, no Kansas State, no Kansas that BYU plays, at least not in the regular season. It's been slated as an easier Power Four schedule. How do you see it, Shahan?
Yeah, I think it's pretty manageable. And here's the reality, right? I mean, I think that we can look at the past couple of years. Getting a good draw is critical to being able to make it to the conference championship game. I mean, last year, BYU had to play so many of the best teams in the Big 12. And ultimately, of course, they go and lose against Kansas and against Arizona State in some really, really close games. So I think to have a relatively favorable schedule, like that's a huge deal when you start to project teams as contenders. I mean, some of those teams that I mentioned, right? Baylor, Texas Tech, BYU. Part of the reason for it is because they do have more manageable schedules and they avoid each other. Now, I will say, as somebody who's been around the Big 12 for over a decade at this point, there is something a little sad about the idea that every team doesn't play everybody, that everybody doesn't just have a hard schedule. But when you do have these years that you have a more manageable path, like you got to take advantage of them. And I think that BYU might have one of them.
What do you think is the biggest question mark for BYU as a whole heading into 2025?
Well, I think that defensively, of course, I mean, you look at the loss of somebody like Tyler Batty. Like, I think that they're going to have to develop some new guys on the defensive side of the ball. They don't rank near the bottom of the country in returning production on defense, but they're middle of the pack just because of some of the key players that they've lost. So I need to see Jack Kelly take another step forward. I need to see some more growth in that secondary, of course, that was so good in 2024. And then the other thing, too, I think, is just health overall. I mean, again, you look at some of the games that BYU lost across the season, it was because while they had good depth, they're still developing it, right? I mean, that's the toughest thing about going from being a nominal Group of Five team to being a Power Conference team, is that you have multiple years of building up Power Conference rosters. So those are steps that I expect them to take in 2025. But again, replicating some of the success they had on defense and also in close games, like, it's a tall task, and there have been teams in the past that certainly haven't been able to do it.
Let's end with this question, which frankly we could spend all week discussing, but if you could summarize it somehow, when I ask, are you in favor of the proposed new format for the college football playoff going to 16 teams? And of course, the four auto bids for the SEC and the Big Ten, two for the Big 12, two for the ACC, three at-larges, and one Group of Five. How do you perceive that whole idea in the world of college football?
Well, let me start with this. I think the idea of having multiple auto bids to a postseason is frankly a joke. Like, the idea of finishing fourth place in the SEC and maybe not even being a top 25 team in the country, but being guaranteed a spot because of your conference affiliation, it's anti-competitive to me. There's really no other type of sports where you're guaranteed a spot just for the right of finishing fourth place in your own conference. That just doesn't exist. If you're as good a conference as you believe that you are, and by the way, I think the SEC and Big Ten are that good, play your way in. Don't just guarantee yourself a spot. And again, especially with 16 teams, if you're not putting four in with all of the resources you have available to you as one of these big two leagues, that's fully on you. There's no other way to put it. When you talk about 16, look, I loved 12. I thought that 12 was a great number. I thought that the way that it was set up made a lot of sense. I also do think, though, that the one piece about 16 that might make a lot of sense and might be kind of good is everybody in the top eight will get an on-campus playoff game. And when you look last year, that was one of the coolest new developments that we've seen in college football, is the idea of the on-campus college football playoff games. I know why the teams that are in the top four would clamor for those opportunities. So look, 16 is a little bit of a bigger number than I think is ideal for competition. But when you talk about the idea of having eight on-campus playoff games, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, frankly, it didn't go well for the teams that had a bye, and all of the home teams that had that home playoff game went gangbusters. So very, very interesting commentary there. We appreciate the time, as always, and know that you're busy. Just so that we know, how do BYU fans find more of your work and insight, Shahan?
Yeah, you can follow me on every social media platform at Shahan Jeyaraja, and you can find all my work at cbssports.com.
You got it. Shahan Jeyaraja on BYU Sports Nation. We appreciate the time, brother. Be well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good stuff. Good stuff on May 12th. We're ready to play.
I know. I don't want to wait now. Yeah. I just want to get to the games.
Who are we playing Saturday? That'd be awesome. If you missed any of our interviews or our shows, any of our BYU TV sports content, our Deep Blues, you can find it all at BYUSN.com. Also download the BYU TV app and get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
After the break, how is BYU men's golf doing in the first round of the NCAA regionals? And which former BYU athlete broke an American record this weekend? We discuss all of it in headlines. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B and BYU Sports Nation. I am Spencer Linton. That is Dave McCann. And these are your Monday headlines.
NBA draft season is underway. It's a big night tonight. The combine's going on in Chicago. The lottery is this evening. Yegor Demin, one of 80 players participating in Chicago. That's going to continue through the week. Here's where Demin has landed in five prominent mock drafts. Updated recently, number 12 to the Bulls from ESPN, 13 to the Hawks from CBS Sports, 14 to the Spurs, Yahoo Sports. The Ringer has him 15 to the Thunder. Sports Illustrated has Yegor 18 to the Wizards. Demin looking to become BYU's first draft pick since Jimmer back in 2011.
If he went 15 to the Thunder, forget the lottery. It's the Thunder. That would be awesome.
That would be something.
BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff ranked as the sixth best quarterback in the Big 12 entering the 2025 season, according to John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News. Retzlaff in the top half of all Big 12 quarterbacks last season in total offense, passing yards, and touchdown passes. but tied for the Big 12 lead in the category you don't want to be in the lead of, interceptions, 12. He's in the bottom half of the conference in completion percentage, just around 57%, and quarterback rating.
BYU baseball dropped the final two games of their series at Kansas, 10-1 on Friday, 7-6 in a heartbreaker on Saturday. With the series loss, Cougars 8-19 in the Big 12, and they're now on the outside of the Big 12 tournament. If it were to start today, with three Big 12 games to go, sets up for a dramatic weekend ahead. First, though, it's BYU-Utah in a non-conference game, Miller Park Tuesday night. Texas Tech comes to town Thursday. Those are the games that matter the most.
BYU softball's Alea Ogbayani, one of 11 players named to the Big 12 All-Tournament team. Ogbayani led BYU with four hits, two home runs, and four runs driven in the two tournament games. Yesterday, Selection Sunday, the NCAA tournament field did not include BYU. Cougars will miss the tournament for a fourth straight season after being again one of the first four teams out.
Dang. Ogbayani was awesome. BYU men's golf in the first round of the NCAA regionals. They're playing in Reno. Started about 30 minutes ago. Three-round tournament will be spread out over 3 days, beginning today through Monday. The top five teams advance today through Wednesday. The top five teams advance to the NCAA championships.
Former BYU track and field and cross-country star Casey Klinger broke the American record in the 25K at the Amway Riverbank Run in Grand Rapids, Michigan on Saturday. I didn't know that the 25K was a designated run, but apparently it is, and now a BYU guy has the record. In Klinger's first road race, he shattered that record with a time of 1 hour, 12 minutes, and 15.01 seconds, almost a full minute faster than the previous record.
Every weekend.
New record.
New record.
New record. It's crazy.
All right, some baseball news. A couple of Cougs in the show. Justin Sterner, his scoreless inning streak got snapped by the Bronx Bombers. It was 18 and two-thirds innings without giving up a run. He gave up a few. Aaron Judge hit a home run.
Of course it was Aaron Judge.
No shame in that. Overall, Sterner gave up five, but the A's still won the game.
Hey.
So, you know, if you're gonna lose, still win.
I was gonna win the game.
Yeah, nice job. Daniel Schneeman, an RBI single for the Guardians in their 6-0 win over the Phillies on Friday.
After the break, we go back to the question of the day. Is Jake Retzlaff underrated as a quarterback in the Big 12? More responses to that brain buster. This is BYU Sports Nation. Nation continues live in Studio B alongside Dave McCann. I am Spencer Linton. If you missed it earlier, I'm going to remind you now. Our question of the day. Because John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News said it, we're asking it. He has Jake Retzlaff as the sixth best quarterback in the Big 12. So, prompts the question of, is Jake better than that? Is he underrated as a quarterback? At Rex Quan Dan on X says, I support whatever ranking motivates him the way last year's ranking did. Maybe it's number six this year.
Yeah, you know what? It's going to, because he believes he's number one. And so when you're down to six or 16, I think the motivation's the same. Especially he beat a lot of the quarterbacks ranked ahead of him. And a couple of them weren't even in the league. So I would think he would find that as quite motivating.
If Pro Football Focus, or anybody for that matter, want to put Jake at the bottom of the list, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Just do it again.
Would support that. Ethan Karn on Instagram, always, he's at least top three.
Ooh, top three. See, I think we settled on five or six. I don't feel like six is egregious based on the list in front of him. There are some good quarterbacks.
And he had Levitt number one, but Levitt was number, let's be honest, Levitt's a good quarterback, but Scadaboo made him fantastic.
What is
There's no
Sam
Scadaboo
Levitt
this
without
year.
Cam Scadaboo? I'm interested to see that. He still has Jordan Tyson, one of the best receivers in the
right,
Big 12.
Sure.
And but a ton Scadaboo. Of confidence.
Scadaboo was everything.
That guy was a monster.
You know, Avery Johnson, Kansas State, didn't have a great year last year. Had all the tools. Came to Provo, got beat
38-9.
So, I mean, and he's ranked ahead of Jake.
Yeah, what is Arizona State in general? Like, I don't know. Yeah. But I think they'll be good. But how good without Cam Scadaboo?
And they had some magic. Do they have the magic toward the down the stretch? Something to see.
Guffy Jonas on Instagram says, six is fair. Jake's a great quarterback, but he has tendencies that need to mature. But he wins games.
Yeah.
See, that's why I lean, like, pushing up to five. Leadership, experience, he's a winner. He just felt like the clutch factor at times was outstanding.
Yeah.
I know there are frustrations, BYU fans. Trust me. I know. Jake feels them too. He feels them more prominently than anybody. But he's more often than not last year, he had the clutch factor, Dave. He would make the big play when it mattered the most.
Yeah, and when he made a mistake, he didn't come out and repeat it, which were big. And he had a couple mistakes, sure. But he had a lot more successful plays when it mattered the most. Let's see, Sammy J. Dot on X. I think it's an accurate representation of where he was, but not where he can get to.
Yeah.
Regardless, it should be good motivation.
Yeah, will six motivate? Probably. Because as we've been saying, he believes he's the best in the league.
Yeah, and this team believes they can go win the league. So can you win the league with the sixth best quarterback? Yeah, you can. But if he's motivated to be better than that, yeah, this is a team that's going to the Big 12 championship, if you ask them.
There are two notable areas that Jake needs to clearly be better. He knows completion percentage.
Yeah.
I said last week I'd like to see it go from 57-58% up a few percentage points over 60. Like, if you can get to 63 or 64, that's a significant jump. It means obviously great things. And then if he can make his touchdown interception ratio 3-1. So if he can throw 27 touchdowns and 9 interceptions instead of the 20 and 12. Like, he's capable of doing that as a senior quarterback. Those are the two areas that I'm obviously very interested in.
And I think the key for him to being able to do that is his ability to run. A healthy Retzlaff, who was healthy right up until the Utah game.
He's underrated
as
a runner.
He got dinged in that.
He's underrated.
Underrated. But as a runner, we saw him run a little bit in the Alamo Bowl. He runs just enough to freak a defense out.
Yes.
And then when you have a healthy L.J. Martin, and then you've got the weapons to throw to. But Jake can move it around, and that's an X factor for him. You know, Levitt can move it around.
Yeah.
You can run out of trouble, and linebackers have to stay close, and then deep play guys are down the field. I think his ability to scramble is huge.
All five of the quarterbacks listed above him, very, very talented. Yeah. I don't know what Devin Dampier is going to be
right
as a power four quarterback.
No one does.
He was awesome at New Mexico. No doubt that he has plenty of talent, and he's got a great quarterbacks coach in Jason Beck with that BYU pedigree. Jason's awesome. But what happens when he makes that jump? I don't know. That's probably why I'd put Jake above him for the moment.
Sure, sure.
Not well, saying, yeah.
One was at New Mexico and didn't get to the postseason, if you're just looking at what quarterbacks did last year. And one went 11-2 and won the Alamo Bowl. That quarterback should probably go ahead of the other one.
It is interesting.
But you know what? They'll go head-to-head in October. And then
can't wait to watch
that.
It. Yeah, Dan Pierce, he's really good. Really good. All right. At AZCougFan1 on X answers, is Jake Retzlaff underrated as a quarterback? Says properly rated, needs to cut down on turnovers. Yeah, he had 12 interceptions. That's not a number that he likes. It's why he's taking added measures to go work with John Beck more. And, I mean, he's really trying to perfect his craft.
Maybe you look at it this way. Last year he was picked 16. He's improved 10 spots in this Wilner poll to 6. He's jumped 10 quarterbacks to 6. And can he close the gap to 1? If he does, BYU is going to be in business.
Let's go. Still on the way. A former Cougar, if you missed it, made an incredible game-winning shot over the weekend. We'll show it to you. And get to today's Rise and Shoutout. Are the two interlinked? It probably should be. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation with our question of the day. Jake Retzlaff, tabbed as the sixth best quarterback in the Big 12 in a recent article. We ask, is Jake Retzlaff underrated as a QB? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, in from at Rowdy in the Rock, who answers on X. Just found Jake's new phone screen for this season, the number 6, because last year, you know, famously, it was the PFF rankings with him at the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay, he looked at it every day. So number 6 is now his new lock screen.
Good one.
I like that. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Alex Barcelo had a big shot over the weekend. Let's show it to you. He's playing for his team in Spain. Doesn't have much time.
0.7.
Here comes the ball. Got to get rid of it. And Barcelo buries it for Obradoro.
Yes.
And a big win. Good job.
Oh, Obradoro. What a shot. Across his body. He's moving away from the basket from almost 28 feet, Dave. This is ridiculous.
Just how you practice
Come
in the
on.
Front yard.
I love it.
Good job.
Love AB. His family's growing. He and his wife are doing well.
Great. He's hitting shots.
Yes, fantastic. Our thanks to today's guest from CBS Sports, Shahan Jayaraja.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Dave McCann, I am Spencer Linton. A shout out to Noah Hartsock, just because. We'll see you tomorrow back here in Studio B for more BYU Sports Nation. Go Cougs. Oi, Bradoino!